have listed two verses from the reading appointed from the Revelation of St. John, chapter 1. The third verse, blessed is he who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written therein, for the time is near. And the eighth verse, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. One time, a number of years ago, I overheard one of my daughters speaking with a friend. And the friend said, what does your daddy do? And I wasn't sure whether I liked it or not. And the reply was, he passed. It's funny in a way, and yet it is so true. Words will be the meaning of your existence. If you stop to think, most of you, by the grace of God, may be in the ministry 40 plus years, and will preach 60 some sermons a year. Keep multiplying that, figure out how many words it will be, a Niagara of words that will come forth from your mouth. And basically, it's about the only thing that will have significance for you. Even as around here, I'm amazed at times when I sit and think, and the classrooms are all filled, and we have chapel, and we have conversations, and it's words, words, words. Not mere words. The subject of what I have chosen to lift out of this is exactly that, words. And what the text reminds us of is the importance of language. And the direction of the text is, watch your language. First of all, because it is that we have a God who speaks. And you could document that again and again, couldn't you? The Lord said, the word of the Lord came to. Our God has a voice as compared to the idols who again and again in Scripture are referred to as dumb idols. The Psalm 19 and the hymn that we just sang reminded that this is at the heart and core, the message of God, law and gospel that we have chosen and privileged to speak. In fact, we're called prophets, so they need. We stand in front of people and we speak words. The reminder certainly that our Lord himself is called the Word in John's Gospel. And here, interestingly enough, I am the Alpha and the Omega, which is not just the beginning and the end, but Alpha is the first letter of the alphabet, Omega is the last. And in between, using all of those letters, this is what words are made from. So that our Lord again is the Word of God in his speaking and in his acts. We do well, therefore, my friends, to have tremendous respect for language. And if there's any admonition to be had there, I would encourage you to be very careful when you write and when you speak, because so much depends upon it. Do not become sloppy in the use of language. Have tremendous respect for it, because that's your calling. You would do well to read, for instance, Senator Hayakawa's book on the power of language, which has been used in a great many universities. You might do well to use Rudolf Flesch's book, because he nails so many of our inaccuracies and reminds us of how our message can be totally muddled, even though we are the best exegetes in the world, as we get into the pulpit to stand before a lecture and confuse people because we have no respect for languages. George Herbert Mead, who unfortunately didn't right much, most of what we have left from him is in the form of student class notes, and that makes us a little nervous. We're not always sure whether students hear what the class says. But again and again, he followed this concept that we are made by language, that we become human and civilized as people speak to us. I think we can recognize the validity of that. So, the awesomeness of speaking for God. We can become so inured to speaking, so much in love with our own voices at times, that we forget the awesomeness of this calling. But again and again we say, thus saith the Lord. And we sometimes rush in where angels fear to tread and forget the greatness of what we're saying. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It can be said so quickly and so easily, but what awesomeness is involved there. Taking away the sin of the whole world, or when we conduct the funeral service, and we rather brightly and sometimes unthinkingly say, well, there is a resurrection from the dead. Really? Is there? That's the word that the world has been listening for, and yet so often hears and doesn't believe. The awesomeness of speaking for God, of speaking God's law. There are those who would say, you have no right. We live in a relative world, and therefore you come and say, this is right, that's wrong. You will be judged for this. What an awesome task that is. And we are reminded to remember that we should not speak for God and use our own thoughts. That's been done in the church very often to the great detriment of the church. Be sure when you speak the law, you are speaking God's law and not yours. And above all, the awesomeness of holding forth the precious gospel, the word of God in action. The conclusion is, and I would like to simply lay this before you for your thinking during this day, particularly once in a while, if you have a little time. Think about the power of words, of human words, and think about, above all, the power of the word of God. You don't want to study merely about it, and say it is verbally inspired, it is inerrant, of course it is. But above all, it's not improper. I like what J.B. Phillips said when he translated the epistle in his book, Letters to Young Christians. And he said he felt, as he was working with the word of God, that he was like an electrician. He was rewiring a house without turning off the current. And that's the trick. I tried it once and landed flat on my back on the other side of the roof. But that's what it is. It is not merely words in the sense of symbols, but it crackles with the power of God to change lives, to drive men to their knees, to bring tears to their eyes, and to lift up the brokenhearted and give men a vision of a better world with an eternity beyond this. It's awesome. So I beseech you, brethren, always watch your language. In the name of Jesus, amen.